This is Mornings with Adam Shirley on ABC Radio Canberra.
When I say the word nuclear, what do you think? Do you think power? Clean tech? Waste? Do you think Fukushima? Do you think Chernobyl? Nuclear is a word which has so much loading, really. And for understandable reasons, we've mentioned it quite a bit today because of the announcement that the United States of America will share secret nuclear technology to help Australia in the switch to nuclear-powered submarines. It's a key part of this broader tripartisan, tri-government deal between the US, the UK and Australia, which was announced 7 a.m. Australia time with the respective leaders of each nation. So how safe is nuclear? For the purpose of powering a submarine and for other purposes where it's being used. Associate Professor Maria Ross-Rubley is a nuclear expert based at Monash University. She's kindly given us a bit of her time to talk about this. Associate Professor Rubley, thank you so much for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
So it's a simple question. How safe are nuclear submarines in 2021?
Well, there are always concerns when it comes to nuclear reactors. Basically, a nuclear-powered submarine has a mini nuclear reactor inside of it. And if we're using U.S. technology, U.S. plans, that would include highly enriched uranium, which can be used in a nuclear weapon as well as in a submarine. Now, no one is saying that Australia is going to steal the material for the submarine and use it in weapons, but it does make the risk of accidents a bit more concerning. There have been accidents with nuclear submarines in the past, nothing at Chernobyl-like or Fukushima-like, but nonetheless accidents which affected not only the submariners, but communities with health and environmental concerns about the radiation.
How far back do some of those accidents go? Because I am trying to get a context for current nuclear technology as it's used in submarines and other applications.
Well, one thing we can say is that accidents are all on the Russian side. So the U.S. has not had a criticality accident with nuclear submarines. And so, using their technology, it certainly is safer than the Russian technology. However, the U.S. also has decades of experience in nuclear technology, whereas if it's Australians creating and handling this, we're not going to have the experience the U.S. does, which makes it more risky.
So talk to us about the need for expertise in ongoing use and management of it, just based on what you just mentioned.
Well, it's extremely important. I mean, Australia does not have a nuclear industry except for ANSTO, which is, they're world class, but it's medical and research related. If you're handling, first of all, who's going to create this highly enriched uranium? Is that going to be done in Australia? If so, that raises so many questions. It would take an hour just to sort through them. But then handling that is also, a significant issue. Australia doesn't have highly enriched uranium and has had a small amount of it, but at much lower levels than what we're talking about. And so the concerns about accidents, radiation, potential problems with radiation, the amount of money that would need to be put in for procedures so that we can handle and use the material properly. And then, of course, there's disposal. What do we do with the waste?
There's a lot of detail that needs to be sorted through to try and answer some of this. From what we know so far, is it likely that it will require US expertise in this country in the initial stages of maintaining and using the submarines?
100%. Australia doesn't have the capability to build conventional submarines, let alone nuclear submarines. And, it's very complex, both on the nuclear side and on the submarine design side. So it cannot be done without U.S. assistance. And in fact, the British nuclear submarines also require U.S. assistance.
Is it absolutely necessary for a nuclear reactor in Australia to enrich uranium and fuel the submarines, or are there other options on how to do that?
Well, I mean, look, enriching uranium in Australia is not a good idea for a number of reasons. The best option, if Australia was to move forward with this, would be to get the highly enriched uranium from the United States and then the United States would take back the waste product, so we don't have to worry about handling that in Australia.
So you're talking about effectively prepared uranium that can be, and this is a very crude analogy, but it can be plugged in and used as a power source in its form.
Absolutely. I mean, that's actually what's done with most nuclear power plants around the world. Countries do not create their own low-enriched uranium for their power plants. They get them from other countries.
So who's doing the generation? Who's doing the preparation so it can be used?
Well, there are only a handful of countries that enrich uranium today, and actually a lot of the enriched uranium that's being used in nuclear power plants and actually also in nuclear submarines is leftover material from nuclear weapons. In the U.S., nuclear subs are fueled by about 93% highly enriched uranium, which has come from decommissioned nuclear submarines.
You're hearing from Associate Professor Maria Ross-Rubley. She's a nuclear expert from Monash University. She used to work in intelligence for the U.S. government, and we're talking about the nuclear option for power. And practically, in this very early stage, there's still plenty of questions how it would work in a country like Australia should we have a fleet of nuclear submarines. You mentioned the waste product and that it would be a bad idea to dispose of it in Australia. Tell us more about what that product is and why we're better off dealing with our waste elsewhere.
Within Australia, there is no appetite to handle nuclear waste. I mean, Australia has nuclear waste that it produces through ANSTO, which is used for medical purposes. This is low and medium level nuclear waste. We have spent over four decades trying to find a community that will accept a nuclear waste storage facility, and we still don't have one. So what community is going to accept highly enriched, the highly radioactive materials, let alone the low and medium? So these are, some of the byproducts. One of them is plutonium, and that can last for 200,000 years, the radioactive components of it. And so there actually is no long-term storage facility for this type of highly radioactive material. There's some being built in Europe, but they're not finished yet. And so for Australia to do it, when we can't even handle our own low radioactive waste for medical purposes, it just doesn't make sense. It's like it's not going to happen.
Okay. So there are still obviously some practical questions, as we alluded to earlier and spoke about after 9 o'clock with Professor Rory Medcalf, about how nuclear will be handled, used in this fleet of subs. Thank you for giving us a clear idea of those practical considerations, Associate Professor Maria Ross-Rubley. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thank you.
And that is Associate Professor Maria Ross-Rubley, nuclear expert based at Monash University. She used to work for US intelligence and was giving her perspective on the nuclear-powered option.
Wungarali Majinu, Adam Shirley, ABC Radio, Canberra Wurundjeri.